Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Hello everyone, it's Patricia Warby of Alchemy Therapies and My Emotional Audit, and I want to talk today about an unusual subject. We've talked before about being highly sensitive, or HSP, highly sensitive person. And I've covered in detail the changes in the brain and what happens to people and how they process things differently. But I've never really touched on something that's a bit more controversial, a bit more out there, if you like, and that's empaths, people who are at the extreme end of high sensitivity. And now these people may express their high empathy in many, many ways. So they may be animal or dog whisperers, you know. They may be able to communicate with animals or nature. I certainly have found, as I've got older, the ability to do that. They may indeed be able to communicate with the dead, with souls that have departed. And look, there are a number of mediums out there, and mediumship, although it's regarded in scientific circles as being completely preposterous and a sham, actually has, you know, when you look at it, some very good uses. And I was really made aware of this by watching a fabulous conversation with a medium called Nikki Allen. And she's a Londoner. She's based in Essex now, I think. But she basically was born with this capability, which is a really good sign that that's an innate trait. Okay, and so that's why I think it's a version of being highly sensitive, is that this is an innate trait. It's not something that suddenly descends upon you, although you can train to heighten your awareness and communicate perhaps with spirits. It's usually something that you know you can do from very early on. And she's a very, very lively, entertaining person to listen to, because she tells it like it is. She's very straightforward. And she was saying that age 4, she could see auras and sort of shimmering energies that used to live at the top of the stairs in her house, and just thought all children could do that. She never really talked about it, because it wasn't something that she was aware was wrong or odd or different from anyone else. But you're not at that age. You just assume your world is the way it is. But of course, as she got older, it became more apparent. And then something really tragic happened, and her father died in a very sudden car accident when she was 9. And she remembers being told by her mum the news that her daddy has died, or he's not around anymore, and being so, so upset. And then she was walking along the street one day, and I think very shortly afterwards, and she saw her dad drive up and the car door open, and he leaned out and he said, "Tell your mum I'm fine." And then he drove off, and then she ran home to tell her mum. She was very upset, because she said, "Mummy, mummy, you lied. You told me daddy had died and I've just seen him." And luckily her uncle was there. I think it was her uncle or grandfather, can't quite remember, but a member of the family was there at the time and said, okay, we need to tell you something, because she'd come from a long line of people who had had this ability, particularly in the male line. And let's say it was her grandfather, he had been helping the police for years with unsolved murder cases, working with Scotland Yard, which is like the big police centre in London. And this was all hush-hush and unofficial, because we don't accept that spiritualism or spirits really exist. But the police knew that certain people had access to information, let's say, that the majority of people don't have. And they would consult her granddad, and he would help them solve cases, because he could see the result of what had happened in say, a murder or something that was unsolved. And he could feel what had happened and give them clues and tell them where the bodies were and so on and so forth. And in fact, she talks about that's why she went into the police force, in fact, as a young woman, because she, I guess, had that experience in her family. But it became very, very difficult for her, because she was in sort of, I guess you'd say liaison. She was a liaison officer for people who've gone through difficult experiences, either, you know, someone had been murdered or they've been horrible situations. And in many, many cases, she would see the dead person in the room while she was interviewing the relative and not be able to say anything, because obviously this was not expected or normal. And she knew that as a police officer, she had a duty to appear completely regular and ordinary. And so, but it became a bit of a stress for her. But her colleagues did know she had this ability, and often in the evenings she'd be doing unofficial readings for people. And then eventually she was persuaded quite categorically that she had to leave the police, because she started hearing babies crying and sort of it began to get intolerable for her. And she went to see another practicing medium, who said, before she even knew who she was, because she wasn't going to see the medium for herself, she was accompanying a friend, and the medium said, the baby will stop crying when you fully devote yourself to this work. And so she was convinced, because she hadn't told this woman anything about what was going on in her life. So I found it a fascinating story, and whether you agree or disagree that that's possible, I know there's a great deal of debate, particularly around this time of year when we're coming up to Halloween. It's on the TV, you know, unsolved cases and cases of hauntings and that sort of thing. I've certainly experienced things in my life which are completely unexplainable. I'm sure I've been visited in one house I lived in by a dead, departed person, and I had the experience three times. It was very specific. It didn't feel malevolent. It felt very gentle and ordinary and loving, actually. And then I was able to find out that the house I was living in was the house that one of my friends' grandparents had lived in. And then her parents had also stayed there when she was very little. So she had sort of grown up there a little as well. And I think it was the spirit of the grandmother. That's what I thought it must be when I learned that, because it was definitely someone taking care of me. It only ever happened when I was on my own, and it used to happen when I was just about falling asleep. And then I would feel something sitting. Well, first of all, I would see something at the end of the bed, sort of a shimmery figure. And then I would feel the mattress go down. And then in the last experience I had, I actually felt the duvet being pulled up over me, which, yeah, I was rigid with fear, but I kind of knew to just keep still. Now, I can't explain that. You could say I was semi-dreaming. Yes, I could have been, but I've never had it any other place I've lived. I've never had it again since I moved from there. So how to explain that? Anyway, there are mysteries in the world. But what I wanted to talk about specifically was how changes in the brain might well be linked to this ability. And there's one really important part of the brain. And I'm going to share my screen very quickly. And I'm going to show you a picture of the pineal gland. Okay, let's get that out. I'm just going to share my screen now and show you, first of all, the pineal gland, where it is. You can see, and this is a picture, a slice through your brain. It's actually beautiful, the brain. It has a really beautiful Fibonacci proportion. That's what this is, the Fibonacci spiral. But the pineal gland is right in the center there. And it's a beautiful shape, actually. This one is a sort of more of a angle to show you that it sits right in the center. And it's a beautiful cone. Hence the name pineal. Americans say pineal, but we say pineal. It's actually the shape of a pine cone. And so it has a spiral embedded in it. And as you might know, spirals are very important in nature. If you put water through a spiral, it actually enlivens and enriches it. Spirals also are used in radio antenna, for instance. They concentrate energy anyhow. So the pineal gland may be, well, the part of the brain that filters and resonates with this kind of extrasensory information. And although we can't explain it, not yet anyway, I keep an open mind about these things. And I do know that children have a more open pineal gland. They have less calcification in that part of the brain because it does calcify as you get older. And so children tend to be much more imaginative for that reason, much more open to experience. And that could be why. But there are tools that you can use, particularly solfeggio frequencies, which are a particular vibration frequency that open your pineal gland. And I'll include a link in the description below. Because the more open you are to experience, the more access you have to your intuition, which, of course, is a really important part of who you are and how you make decisions and how you engage with life, really. So just understanding that, and understanding also that the parts of the brain that give you high sensitivity may also give you this kind of ability to connect beyond the physical, is an extraordinary understanding. It obviously isn't just the pineal gland. It may involve other areas like the insular cortex, which is, we think, also about self, and it's the seat of empathy. Generally, it's sort of self, non-self. It's the idea of this is mine, this is yours. And we know that highly sensitive people have a very poor boundary with that. You know, you tend to take on the emotions of other people and the feelings and sometimes even the thoughts, because that's what mediumship is. It's the thoughts or communications of other people. Now, Nikki is an example of somebody who's making a living doing that. And I have friends who also are very good at this. And in fact, I've interviewed one of them. That's Jessica. We did an interview after she'd done a reading for me with my mum. And how extraordinary that was, because it was like my mum's personality came through as well. Not just, you know, things she could have randomly guessed, but actual predilections, things that my mum loved, you know, came up that were unknown to Jessica, couldn't possibly have known that, and some memories as well that I'd forgotten, but my mum remembered. And so it is an extraordinary thing, but it does have a high link to high sensitivity, and it can be very distressing for people if they don't understand this and they don't have access, like Nikki did, to a family member or somebody that can help support them with this ability and understanding. And so if this is an issue for you, I would suggest getting together with other highly sensitive people. If you're an empath, and if you are getting visions or awarenesses of other entities beyond the physical, then you really do need to reach out for a group of people that can help support you and maybe normalize what you're going through, because it can be extremely distressing to have these really weak boundaries. Okay, well, all this is covered and more in my book, The Highly Sensitive Handbook, which is something I published this summer. It's not specifically about empaths. It covers all the ranges across the spectrum, and it allows people to find ways of overcoming their traumatic responses and finding ways to enhance their abilities and live a life worth living. So it's got really practical ideas in how to negotiate relationships, work, you know, your social life. So it's something I was passionate about, because I was aware there were lots of highly sensitive books out there, but there were very few that talked about how to manage that when it interacts with a childhood where you're not supported. So folks, I hope that was interesting to you. Take care of yourselves, do subscribe, and see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.